This is the Pew Talk America Radio Network.
Once again, you have managed to make it all the way to the third and final segment of tonight's show. We do it every week, whether you like it or not. It's the C Block. Oh my God, we've had so much fun in the first 2 hours, 15 minutes of this extravaganza. I can't imagine if the last however long segment is going to be just as much fun.
I hope so.
This is show 358C, if you are looking at it online. This is September 11th, 2018, right here in Central Phoenix. I'm sitting alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and in the lovely blue, purple, whatever color shirt you're looking at it in, that's Al Perkins right there. We do this every week. Thanks to everybody in the chat room who's joined in with the conversation. You can chat along with us, too. Go to qtalkchat.com, and you can join right in with us if you want to. But if you're listening on repeat, we're probably not live in that room right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Al Perkins.
So the Shmemmies, the first half, the technical part of the Emmys, were given out this weekend. And there was a couple of fun ones. Oh, and of course, this is the link that doesn't do it. But So You Think You Can Dance, Mandy Moore, the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Nope Other, I think, is her Twitter handle. That makes me laugh because everyone thinks...
My God, that's funny.
That the Mandy Moore, the actress-singer, is the choreography. Two different people.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I thought it was Mary Moore. Isn't that funny?
Oh, no, Mandy. Was,
okay, go ahead.
So she did a fantastic number for last year's opening Academy sequence to a song by Ben Rector called Brand New, with all the dancers and all their styles running through wherever they held the Academy at last year. If you get a chance, look up Brand New Academy Dance and just watch her incorporate all those dance styles into this giant number encompassing this whole outdoor park. It's just fantastic. So she won that, she won her first, or her second Emmy, but her first one for that show. And then I'll just go through, because there's a couple of fun things in here. And there's one that, and they're not coming up in the right places. But USS Callister from Black Mirror, if you watched Black Mirror this year, where he gets stuck in the Star Trek episode, that won
best TV movie.
So it won best TV movie for the second year in a row. The anthology series is winning best TV movie. So they're somehow bending the rules, and I think it's because each episode stands alone.
Right.
It's not really a series. It's like a series of four movies. But so I enjoyed that won. There's a lot of pages to this, so I'm just going to hit down the good ones. Outstanding writing for a variety series last week tonight. They've won every year since The Daily Show has been off, and well-deserved, because last night, just another fantastic, or Sunday night, just another great one. Outstanding directing for a variety series, Saturday Night Live, the Donald Glover one. If you saw that, that's when he was the musical guest as Childish Gambino, what's his name?
Yeah.
Just a terrific episode. And then they'll give out some of the bigger ones. But there's a couple of really fun awards here, so forgive me while I go through, because no one will put out a goddamn thing that you can read all at the same time. So I'm just going to go through and look for statues. Wild Wild Country, and we watched that documentary that got Outstanding Documentary. If you haven't seen that, that's the crazy one about the cult in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
I haven't seen it yet.
Really, and one of those things that you're like, "How was I alive for this?" And I don't remember.
Right. Right.
I talked about that one. Are the chance that to be the youngest EGOT winners, the boys that gave us. La La Land.
Pacek and Paul.
Yeah, yes. They did not. They lost their chance.
Oh,
original music and lyrics for A Christmas Story Live. They didn't win. Instead, it went to the Chance the Rapper, Comeback Barack, for that one, which was a really clever song.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was kind of rooting for them to be the youngest EGOT winners at a very young age. Like they're barely 30.
Yeah, they're very, very young.
Yeah, it would have been a shocking win. But Outstanding Variety Series... A variety special live went to Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert. So John Legend is now the first black male to be an EGOT winner.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Good on him.
And so the youngest, right?
I'm not sure about the youngest, because I was watching for the other two to win, so I don't know where he fit, but he is the fastest one to win, because his the Oscar, the Tony, and the Emmy all came within 3 years of each other.
Okay.
So he has like the shortest between first and last awards, if I'm not mistaken. But in that thing, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber got their EGOTs as well. So all three of them got
And how up. Great for him to be standing in the middle of them.
Right, and then the ones that I tell you all the time not to miss, Craig Sedan and Neil Maron, the one just died a couple weeks ago that I've been sad ever since. The one that gives, and they're the ones that have just spawned this movement for the last 20 years of getting musicals back on TV, getting it to the, bringing musicals to the people, getting people on board. They were part of that too. They were co-producers, so they got their Emmy as well. But I don't think they're EGOTs because they're missing a Tony. I don't think they've ever produced a Tony. So, we're going because there's a couple other little fun things in here. These motherfuckers can't put out a goddamn thing in this great order.
Rude. Honestly, I think it's just rude.
I know. And what's it called?
Entertainment Weekly.
No, IMDb hasn't updated the Emmys, even the nominees for this year. They're so far behind. So I can't go through to find the ones that I want to...
Budget cuts.
Right. I want to see. Anthony Bourdain won 6 Emmys this year. Mixing for a nonfiction program. I mean, the amount of Emmys collected by Anthony Bourdain was really something. Everyone in that category won. That's odd.
Magic.
Casting for limited series, Assassination of Gianni Versace. Costumes for a variety, RuPaul's Drag Race wins another Emmy. So now it is multiple Emmy award winning. God, I'm so sorry about this. I wish there was a faster way to do this for the ones that I'm looking for. Because I think RuPaul won again.
She did.
She did. For Hostess.
Okay. So RuPaul won.
I'm sorry, Hostess.
And then the Queer Eye guys won something as well.
Oh.
But again.
Yeah, RuPaul wins Drag Race Host. I'm going to Google some stuff for you.
Yeah, thank you. Because there's one more. The Queer Eye guys won.
They won...
But I think
Revival or something?
They won 3 Emmys. And those include...
I'm getting pictures ready. I'm not ignoring you.
Oh, look at you. You're doing a wonderful job.
Wow. She said...
Working it out.
I believe
Was that
it.
Not sincere?
So, yeah, no.
I got called on the carpet for lack of positive positive feedback
reinforcement
today.
There? Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that sucks.
Alex Bornstein won again for Outstanding Character Voice Over Performance.
Oh, yes.
Lois Griffith, Babs, Pewter Schmidt, Natalia, Female Hippo, Woman. Outstanding Cinematography, Multicamera Series. Actually, Will and Grace won 2 early Emmys for their work. maybe if I could click on Queer Eye. Oh, this might be a faster way to do this.
Okay.
By Jove, I think he's got it.
He might.
There we go.
Interwebs
Outstanding
is new.
Structured Reality Program. So it was just awarded to Queer Eye. Hopefully the hosts get something. There's more awards that are going to come out next week. And then in the guest actor, actress category, all 4 were people of color. It was Trisha. See, I couldn't get to that part on here.
Damn it. What am I supposed to be Googling now?
Guest actor and actress. Outstanding guest actor. I don't want to get their names wrong. Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series. Cat Williams wins for Willie. Hopefully they're going to have them all together. Guest actor in a drama series was Ron Cephas Jones as William, the father in This Is Us. Guest actress in a comedy series. Tiffany Haddish as hosting Saturday Night Live. This woman is so motherfucking funny. From oh my god,
and busy.
Haddish. Yeah,
She's everywhere. Talk about having a great year. And then guest actress in a drama series. This is the one that I cared about. Samira Wiley as Moira in The Handmaid's Tale. So Pusey.
Yeah.
She didn't get her Emmy for. I thought it was very much deserved for that last season of Orange is the New Black. But. She's been nominated both years for The Handmaid's Tale, and this year she wins.
Oh, great.
And I just thought that was terrific. The interesting thing was last year was the last year of Scandal, and it was the last chance for
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington to be nominated. She was not nominated for Scandal, and she wasn't nominated for guest actress in a drama show for the crossover with How to Get Away with Murder, even though Viola Davis was.
Oh, right, yeah. Which is wild, because she did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good crossover, because now they're both on Netflix, or Scandal's on Netflix, and I'm caught up, so I got to see that crossover. And in an interview, segueing out of the Emmy, so that was the Schmemmies. Next week, they'll give out the remainder.
Are you excited about who's going to be hosting?
Who's going to be hosting? I don't know.
The two
Michael
guys from
Che
SNL?
And Josh.
Yes, and Josh.
Oh, yeah. Yes, SNL. Yes. Oh, very much.
Yost?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Colin Jost.
So that should be.
I made all the same sounds.
That should be a really good time. And
yeah, I think so.
I haven't seen the latest season of Orange Is the New Black either. I had a hard time with. I sat down to watch it, and that opening sequence where you're going through like some weird thing in Suzanne's mind, it just didn't pull me in, and I blew it off. And I was watching.
It was
stuff.
Actually a hard season to watch.
This last
like,
one.
It wasn't. Yeah. It kind of missed. It lost any of that like irony and comedy that it used to have, and it felt like just horrible shit happening to people.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like trauma porn.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
good. I wasn't in that place yet.
Well, that's what Amina just said right there in the chat room. Going to turn to trauma porn.
Oh, look at that. Great minds.
Finger on the pulse.
Wow, that's funny. So in an interview with the New York Times, Viola Davis was asked about roles she wasn't satisfied with, and she listed The Help is the movie that she regrets that the film didn't truly give voice to Aveline, and that the other black women at the heart of the story just felt that at the end of the day it wasn't the voices of the maids that we heard. She knew the characters, they're my grandmother, they're my mom, and I know that if we do a movie where the whole premise is I want to know what it feels like to work for white people and to bring up children, I want to hear how you really feel about it. I never heard that in the course of the movie. And that movie did have that feel of making white people feel, to me, you know what I mean? It just had an odd twist to it. I don't know. It was one of those movies that you like at the moment, and then you're like, but did I?
Right.
Like, didn't that come off a little weird? Yeah. But the movie I just obsessed over this week, and if you haven't seen it, Run, Don't Walk, Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, I've heard that's
I've
really
heard
good.
What
yeah.
a fucking delight of a beautiful, and a travelogue movie of whatever, I can't remember what city they were going to. I feel like it was Singapore, but I'm not 100% sure. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous city, gorgeous people, fun, that Awkwafina comes back again from Ocean's 8, steals the movie with Ken Jeong is her father, and he's like, okay, you two went to school together and you're a professor, and she's the blonde Ellen, because she wears this awful yellow wig through the whole thing, and it's just funny. The gay Asian guy from, I think it's Aaron's friends with somebody from Superstore, I'm not sure which of the actors.
I don't know.
But the gay Asian guy from Superstore is the gay Asian guy in this movie, and he is fucking hysterical. It was just one of those rom-coms from back in the days of My Best Friend's Wedding, you know, when you just went to a real fun rom-com and just enjoyed the piss out of it.
Nice.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
Nico is who Aaron says it was.
Oh, okay, Nico, yes, yes. And he is, they're all busy stealing the movie from each other. And I guess the one that plays the boyfriend is not an actor. He's a host from something. Oh, mama, he is hot. Like, there are some good-looking people in that movie.
That's awesome.
But it was just a delight from beginning to end. It was like an hour and 40 minutes of smiling and waiting for Awkwafina to come back. Like, please bring her back. Please can she come back and say something else? Because she was just fun. Cool. Let's see what we got. We can run through. Ooh, that's... Turns out I haven't had a book to read in like 2 weeks, and the list is here. list of things...
What are we reading?
I was like, what was the name of that book? The Woman in Cabin 10. So that's where I'm going to start. Turns out I never go higher up this movie. So... book club sucks. I was on a Jane Fonda kick this week. Saw book club finally.
Mom didn't like it.
Yeah, it's a general
Mom said the previews were the funny parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rest of it kind of fell flat, which she said was sad because you've got four strong women in this movie.
And Candace Bergen finally starts to hit her stride, and it was just too much. Like, all four people with four love interests like a miniseries or another Frankie, and it just
Grace and Frankie.
Yeah, they just had to cut it down and make these big leaps that it. But Jane Fonda, I finally got coming. I watched Coming Home on DVD. That's been on my queue for like 10 years, and it finally like it got bubbled to the top. Came in Jane Fonda's Oscar-winning performance with John Voight as a military wife who goes to help disabled veterans and ends up falling in love with one of the veterans that she's helping because she knew him in high school. And it is just an amazing performance from her. I just I forget how good Jane Fonda was as an actress and how believable as like an uptight housewife that learns to get a perm and get funky and get laid and she gets her pussy eaten filthy. It's a big plot point that whenever they're arguing about movies and ratings, the fact that movie, he goes down on her and it's graphic and it had a PG rating. That they're like,
wait a minute,
hold on. Like that
ratings were different. We talked about this.
Yeah,
like the '70s and '80s.
I mean, it wasn't like a gynecologist exam, but it was. Right. You know, you knew what was going on.
There weren't diagrams and charts.
Yeah, find the G spot, win $5. I saw The Nun at the movie theaters. Just scary.
Yeah,
not as scary as the original Conjuring. We're never going to get that kind of. Just because I went home and watched that on Netflix and almost shit my pants. I was ready to move out of anybody's house. But shit The Nun was fun. We talked about that. On Amazon Prime, Jack Ryan, if you enjoyed Homeland, but you decided you want your heroes to be boys, then watch Jack Ryan.
Oh, very nice.
Pretty much the same premise as Homeland, but this time it's a guy. CIA, the Jack Ryan stories, The Hunt for Red October, it's been played by Alec Baldwin, The Sum of All Fears, Ben Affleck took a turn, Chris Pine took a turn. Now it's John Krasinski, who's just a motherfucking cutie, let's just say it.
He is.
He was totes adorbs, but it's good. He's not really, like, he's kind of a supporting player with everybody else, or kind of putting his name above the title, but it's a whole spy thing. It probably offends some people, I don't know. It wasn't like 24, it was kind of a there's stuff going on in the world. Here's how we find them. Atypical is back. The charming show.
I'm so excited.
Yes,
I saw that
the high school boy with...
he's autistic.
Autistic. Charming ending. I'm really glad they brought it back. And then Ozark with Michael...
Bluth.
Michael Bluth. Yep, he's got a name, though. Jason Bateman is back, and I am so excited to watch that.
Yeah, I didn't get into that one. I don't know why... Like, Atypical, I'm really excited to find some time to watch all of that.
I didn't enjoy Ozark anywhere near as much as I enjoyed Atypical, but I'm glad it's back, because, like,
What is the premise of Ozark?
Ozark, it's backwoods, gets caught up in a money deal, and ends up being a drug dealer.
It's like Breaking Bad, but
it's
in
Breaking
the woods.
Bad in the...
In Breaking Bad in the woods.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Break, so good luck.
All right, good on you. Wow,
came all good of a sudden. You. Look at your...
So guess what he's going to say? I gotta pee.
Go. There's that.
Smart.
Yes.
I like it.
He handed off to me earlier the fact that I was doing Death Din, which I wasn't prepared
for.
But
that's a good time for that.
I'm going to say now we could do that. Two people, one of huge note, the other of slightly less, but still was a very funny actor. Bill Daly passed away this week. Bill Daly was... he played in I Dream of Jeannie, if you'll remember. He played Major Healy. He is the one in the green, darker green jacket in the picture showing now.
The goofy sidekick.
Yeah, he was the master, is what Larry Hagman, or Jeannie was called, Hagman's character. Anyway, he passed away. He was also a character after I Dream of Jeannie. He was on the original Newhart show. And he played
another bumbling
character. In that series again. And both those, well, Dream of Jeannie, I didn't really care, but Newhart was a great show. I love Suzanne Plachette. I still love Newhart.
Yeah, me too.
His comedy was so great to me.
And him stuttering over saying things like
everything.
Bob Newhart was amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and then you had Marsha. What was her name? She was the receptionist.
Right. The curly.
Yeah, curly haired.
Red hair.
Why can't I think of her last name?
Well, and you had a. Hello. Look at. What the fuck are we starting
Marsha Wallace.
Over?
Marsha Wallace. Marsha Wallace. That's it, yeah.
And.
No. Oh, yes, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
She played a wisecracking receptionist,
right.
Carol Kester,
no, right.
on the classic sitcom.
But I was confused with Marsha Wallace and the lady who was on Night Court, who played a bailiff, Marsha.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, very funny actress. No, not that's
Marsha Warfield.
Marsha Warfield.
Marsha Wallace.
Selma Diamond was the first, the raspy little older gal.
Yeah.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, Marsha Wallace took over for her.
Played Edna on The Simpsons, yes.
Oh.
Is that not the voice you're doing?
Wait, Selma Diamond?
Marsha Wallace was the voice of Edna Crabapple on The Simpsons.
I didn't realize that.
Huh. Well, and how that's interesting.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Now I'm going to listen to that.
I thought that's the voice you were doing.
Selma Diamond had a very raspy, I've smoked Territon cigarettes since 1940 voice. She was a tiny little.
Yeah,
that was her. And then second, in the old Death Inn, which this was a little bit bigger impact, and of course, we all know the Burt Reynolds, who was an icon, huge of the 70s, started out in the Gunsmoke television series back in the early 50s and 60s.
I didn't know that.
Started in that. Obviously, football career that didn't go well because of injuries. He parlayed it into an acting career.
Dallas 40, wasn't he?
A source. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Now, I remember the iconic Burt Reynolds to me look was, of course, the picture I'm showing right now is from the 1977 movie called Smokey and the Bandit, which I enjoy. Jackie Gleason. Dom DeLuise, everybody that's in the movie, Jerry Reed. Paul Williams.
That's really a shame.
Pat McCormick was the time. This look right here, that was the classic Burt Reynolds look when he was married to Lonnie Anderson back in the day. But I don't know, that was just such a classic.
Had one of the funniest laughs.
Yes, had a great laugh.
Yeah, had a great laugh.
And also made the black Trans Am car a huge popular vehicle, which I thought was just beautiful. That car... just everywhere was just so iconic of him.
He's bounding down.
Jerry Reed. In fact, the day he passed away, I sang that song all day long. I totally sang that song.
It's a good song.
Yes.
Yeah. But the series of movies that he did, and like Cannonball Run, Cannonball Run to me is similar to It's a Mad World.
Same idea.
Because it's every actor, actress from all over the place is in it. Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, everybody's in that movie.
Sure.
But yeah, right, same premise. But it was such a great movie to see all these people in this movie. Yeah.
And then if it works once, do it to death. But then his two great movies, Deliverance, which he talks about a scene that they cut a scene for to make the movie better, and it cost him his Oscar nomination, and he knew going in that they were going to cut his big moment.
He did it anyway.
But, well, I mean, he wasn't the director of the film, but they talked to him because he also wasn't a big star with Deliverance. Mm-hmm. But that is, it's one of my favorite topics for movies.
I've still never seen that movie, but I don't know if I just have an opposition going in or what, but I've never seen that movie.
It's such a great movie. There's the one scene that's, that terrifies everybody or they make fun of it, but it really is about the hubris of man. It is about taking on untamed nature. And these four men, these four city slickers that are going to go out in the wild and do their one last run through this river in Georgia before they dam it up and wipe out this community.
Oh, that's the whole idea. I didn't know.
Yeah, and most people only know the one scene and then the banjo. That's all they know.
Right, that's really about all I know.
Yeah, but it really is a terrific movie of survival in the woods. And it holds up. It really. I watch it every couple years just to be like, is this movie as good as I... And I'm like, every time I'm like, that really is a good movie.
Okay.
And then he had a really great, where comedy and good acting came together. And it was supposed to be his second run for the Oscar was Starting Over with Joel Clayburgh and Candace Bergen.
Oh, yeah.
And a romantic comedy with a lot dealing with the middle-age crisis and... Yeah. Everything about that was so good, and he really did get snubbed, but Candace Bergen and Jill Clayburgh were both nominated for Oscars.
Mom's favorite was Best Friends.
Filmed in Niagara Falls, Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Yep, with
Goldie Hawn.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin are the parents.
Oh.
It's one of the few times they appeared on screen together that they just let them
be themselves.
A couple. Yeah, be a couple. Cool. That's a cute movie. But Starting Over, if you get a chance to find that on cable... Candace is where someone decided, and I always like those moments where a really serious person, I guess we'd known from Saturday Night Live, she was on Saturday Night Live every fucking day. She's in the whole first season with Gilda Radner, Candace Bergen. So someone knew she was funny, but somebody just took it to the extreme in starting over, and she just loses her mind.
Okay.
And it really was. When I first heard about Murphy Brown, I was like, yeah, she's funny. That's that scene where she sings in the mirror and starting over is just fantastic.
Oh.
But then... Then I, you know, and when you watch all the repeats, and I realize, oh, that's the blonde that was always on
SNL.
Gilda Radner were practically destroyed. She could never get a line out because she would sit there and try to do stuff.
That's awesome.
Just because she was kind of cool. So that was my addition to the Burt Reynolds.
Well, oh, and another cool thing about just a side note on Burt Reynolds, I thought this was pretty cool. He lived in Florida. That was his heart was
Jupiter.
In Florida. Stayed in Jupiter, Florida. He sold. I guess there was a lot of financial issues back and forth with him over the years. He sold his estate down there to a friend of his who was a fan and a friend a long, long time. And for the past several years, according to the story that I read, I don't recall how many years, he charged Burt Reynolds almost nothing for rent, and let him live out his days in his home and all of that. But so for several years that went on, and the guy doesn't plan on selling it at all. Just like he'll just now move into the house he owns
and started a theater company down there. Started
I think I recall
in Jupiter, Florida. He started a theater company and. There's a lot of dinner down there. Like, I mean, just when you think it sounds noble, then it sounds awful at the same time.
Well, and if you would...
Like Death of a Salesman, well, somebody eats Jell-O.
If you're alive in the 80s, like, that's all you knew about, it felt like, was Lonnie Anderson and Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And remember the show Evening Shade?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mary Lou Henner was his wife. And then all of the other... Charles Durning was in it.
Yep. Oh, I assume that's what you were talking about when you were talking about the short woman that smoked, because that was Elizabeth Ashley.
No.
We're talking about Night Court.
Selma Diamond from Night Court, the first, the old little gray-haired lady.
She'd run around and be like, what are you doing?
But Elizabeth Ashley.
Brilliant actress, so funny, and I loved her too. But that whole Evening Shade series was great with all the people. Yeah. Well, what's his name? Jarrett was in it.
Michael Jeter
was in it. Mm-hmm. just a funny show. Yeah. I enjoyed that show too.
His nice little career. The first person to ever thank his male lover on the Tonys.
Huh.
He won for Grand Hotel. Right. That's right.
And he parlayed that right into, like, he was, like, right on Evening. She went right from Broadway to a Jurassic Park movie. Like he was one of those people that came out as gay right on TV and then just wrote it to, like, bizarre places. Like, all of a sudden he was in Burt Reynolds TV shows and Jurassic Park movies and guest starring and stuff. And you're like, that's the little queen that...
But...
Good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah, but that hair was, it just got to be too much, when he decided to become a president member, whatever, like just had the
hair club
toupee
for
kind of thing or whatever.
But you don't remember the toupee, I just remember him with the wild, a comb over, but it would just stand straight up. Oh, I'm talking about Michael Jeter.
No,
you're Burt talking
Reynolds.
About
Burt Reynolds. Oh. I'm sorry, I'm like, huh?
But what I appreciate about Burt's toupee.
No, because Michael Jeter had that crazy fucking hair. Yeah.
What I appreciate about Burt's toupee was he did it progressively. Yeah. As he progressively got more gray, the toupee got more gray. At least it wasn't like gray and then black.
Sure. Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
Well, you and
the facelift may have been questionable.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
But you and I had talked about
nothing compared to Kenny Rogers' face.
Oh, dear God, no.
Oh, no.
That's a mistake.
We finally found it. Yeah. That's too far.
That's the line too far.
You crossed it.
Kenny Rogers facelift. We found it. Yeah. That's the end. That's
world,
the
world famous roaster.
Yeah. Oh. You got to when to fold them and not behind the ears.
Well, they folded that face right up into
a
mess.
Don't fold that behind
the ears. What were we talking about?
We remembered someone that I don't believe, I think it was Katie June, but Al, I don't think you had remembered Mike, that Matt Horsley?
Yeah, Lee Horsley.
Lee Horsley was on Matt, so he was Matt.
Matt
somebody.
Houston.
They always reminded me of each other.
Burt Reynolds and Lee Horsley.
Yeah.
And mainly. I mean, granted, people could bring in like Magnum.
You could
and
also throw in Tom Selleck in there too. Well, in fact, that was one of the memes that was going on Facebook this year after they screwed up the Aretha Franklin death. They put a picture of
that was funny.
Tom Selleck and it said Burt Reynolds, rest in peace.
That was very funny. I saw that you had that. But he reminded me a whole lot more of Lee Horsley.
And Lee Horsley, I don't even know if he's still alive or what the hell's going on with him.
Well, he was when we looked him up.
But who knows when that was.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on because the time is a clicking away and we got this to do. Well, yeah, play the song. Play it.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of Frazzled, two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Carlson.
So last Thursday, around 11 p.m., our friend, Alfred Perkins the second, sends me a message and says, hey, you have to watch this special. Mm-hmm. And being about 2 years behind in everything, sure, you would expect that I wouldn't have seen it yet. But for some reason, okay, I went home like and immediately watched it, mm-hmm, and messaged back the next morning, Jesus H. Christ, yeah, that was .. I still have nothing to say about
yes,
it.
Yes, okay. It's something.
It's no, it's something, and it's a fantastic something that I think everyone should see. So if you subscribe to the Netflix, mm-hmm, or if you steal someone's password, please go find Hannah Gatsby, Nanette. It's okay, a Netflix stand-up special.
Oh, you sent me that. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go watch it immediately. Okay. Listeners, if you don't want any spoilers, please pause the show right now. Go fucking watch this thing and then come back, because I don't know that I'm not going to spoil anything, and it's been out since like the beginning of July, so I actually don't care at this point.
Yeah.
Because when I'm late to the party, I feel like I have no excuse to complain.
Sure.
I am still just about speechless. Like, I have zero things in my two things about one thing.
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot of... That's a,
wow.
You can't really spoil
a lot of things, but not many.
You can't really spoil it because there's no way to prepare for what is coming.
Right. And when you absolutely don't see it coming, like, you certainly can't prepare. Because I thought...
I think you sent me a link to this as well.
Oh, I sent it to all of you as your homework. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's phenomenal.
It's mm-hmm, have to see. And so very moving. Like, I was 100% blindsided. And I have to admit, I may have taken a nap, like, kind of in the middle of it. Because I nap in the middle of everything now, apparently.
Just a little. That's what Sharon said.
Just happens to me.
There's an age, yeah.
Just a little 15-minute snore, and then I'm right back to it. But yeah, so it's a stand-up comedy special.
Okay. From Sydney's Opera, Opera House.
From the Sydney Opera House, which is a really kind of posh venue.
Yeah.
And it's this... She's got to be about my age. And very much someone that... I can be like, yeah, I got you, girl. I see you. Yeah. You know what I mean? A lesbian from Tasmania, like a small town. Right.
Okay.
She's wearing the blazer. She's got my same haircut.
Sure.
All right.
Like, I see you.
I'm right here.
I'm on. You know what I mean? And some of her humor is kind of funny. It's a little dark. And okay, I was like, oh, yeah, all right. This is entertaining. And then I wake up. Not that it wasn't... It was like 4 o'clock in the morning as I was watching it. Not that it wasn't captivating or entertaining. It's just that I... apparently nap in the middle of everything that I ever watched.
Fair point.
Seems
that's what Rewind was meant for.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get back there.
Yeah.
But I wake up right at just about 30 minutes to the end, and she, like, her whole shtick is very, like, almost anti-comedy. She announces kind of very, very early on, like, I have to quit comedy, and here's why. And kind of, no, and goes into really valid reasons. Like, she talks about self-deprecating humor and how when you're someone who is marginalized, self-deprecating humor isn't humility. She says it's humiliation. Okay. It's putting yourself down so that other people can laugh at you. Like, why would you do that?
Oh, I do it all the time.
Right. That's
right.
And we all do. We all do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to have someone like...
Yeah.
Point at herself for what she's doing wrong and why she needs to get out of comedy, and then work in her art degree.
I really should stop heroin.
Yeah, But, I mean, the fact that she works in her art degree.
Yeah, she's got an art history degree
that works into this comedy of, like, what's wrong with the world? Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then her anger
And that's the part that stopped me dead in my tracks, and I had to go watch it three times now. I'm on the third watching of this thing, and it it gets to me every time because part of me is really envious of her because she got to stand up on a stage and just spit the things that she's angry about and just say out loud in a really, like, to the world, to the people that have hurt you, like, basically, fuck you. You know what I mean? And come at me now.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you came at me when I was 17, but fucking come at me now. You wouldn't fucking dare. Okay. She's just angry about it. And I'm so like envious of her that she, like, had the courage and had the wherewithal to stand up and do that. In the Sydney Opera House.
And it's not a small venue. She's at the Sydney. Like,
no, it goes up to the fucking ceiling. Like, it's so many fucking people there.
And I just don't know if anybody. I'd never heard of her.
No.
So I wasn't aware of her style of comedy. Mm-hmm. And she's very, 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 very dry, which I loved.
Yeah.
And just the way she, like, gets into places and tells you little stories. And she leads you on a journey. And when she gets to the part where she's going to just stab you in the fucking heart. You have all your information.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a puzzler. But
a puzzler?
Well, because she's Australian, so clearly,
oh,
like...
Oh, I'm like, a puzzler, he says.
Yeah. Oh, well, and, you know, my love of accents. Yeah. So, first off, I'm sold. Like, so the way Clayton that she says people.
I totally just could not get enough of her accent and the way she has of just bringing something full circle just home to, like, zing you with. And the fact that you go from genuinely, you just go through all the emotions. It was every emotion I have. And it was two straight guys that were like, you need to watch this. And so my caregiver last Wednesday was like, I really want to watch this with you. And I was like, so I didn't know what was going to happen. And then when it turned into this, like, feminist, like, from the mountaintop, I was like, holy shit, there is hope for the world.
And the internet is, like, full of think pieces from straight guys about this thing. I'm like, is this the first time y'all have heard about this?
Yeah.
Because this has been going on a long time. You know what I mean? And she says at some point that she, like, felt it important to do this special because she wished that she had been able to hear this story. You know what I mean? Like, she's doing that thing of being the person she wished that she had had.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know. It's very, very powerful stuff.
It really is. And, it just paid for the Netflix for the whole year. I was like, I am good with that check.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Like, whoever went to... And not a community I had never heard of.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I still don't know much about her. Like, I read some of the articles about it and realized how freaking old it was and how far behind we are.
But, yeah.
So
I felt like... I really felt like I'd been schooled by someone I taught how to read.
And I was, honestly, God, that first... The first way through, when it finished, I was completely just, like, numb and speechless. I'm like... Like, what just happened right there? Like, this woman just stood up on the stage and, like, read my story, read all of our story. You know what I mean? Like, I know so many people that identify with so many of the experiences that she's still deservedly angry about.
Mm-hmm. And it's so... Like, what's the word I want to say? Not naked or raw, but it's so... There's just nothing to hide behind. She's just so vulnerable. It's just her standing next to a stool...
Yeah.
There's no prop. There's no gimmick.
There's no effects. There's no nothing. It's just her standing on a stage for an hour.
Yeah, and what should which should just be a stand up. And I thought it was much shorter than that. I thought it was like 40 minutes.
Oh, because it flies right by.
I'm surprised.
The second time I watched through, I was like, wait, I had to have missed a part.
Yeah, just astounding television though. So
nice,
Nanette.
Okay, perfect.
Watch it. Yeah. Just
awesome.
Just be ready.
Okay.
Have a cocktail ready. Okay. Have someone to talk to. Be ready to discuss. Like,
Interesting.
If Kat had a stand-up show, someone's repressed lesbian housewife would throw a carburetor on stage. Hopefully not hurt anyone. Those things are heavy.
Because panties wouldn't be expressive enough.
I was already cracking up. I'm like, stop it. That's funny.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
You should feel good about it. That's
all right.
Yeah. I'm not trying to tell you how
to feel. You needed a bigger sign of love than just panties.
I'm going to go ahead and take that as a compliment.
I don't know how big a carburetor is, but I'm guessing it's bigger than panties.
Depends on what vehicle.
Well, it depends on who.
Yay, baby. And it's also
from an older vehicle. Because nothing has been carbureted in years.
I'm
going
to say bigger than I would carry.
Yeah, sure.
That describes almost anything in the whole world.
Some of them are that big around and this tall.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. To hurt that thing on stage, I hope it doesn't hit anybody.
If it's an old quadrajet, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Depending on the venue, it might go through the stage.
Right. Exactly. It's fair.
My love token broke my knee.
Be looking down into the orchestra pit.
Now I hobble.
Thanks, guys.
If zero things to say about the one thing I brought to two things. I enjoyed that.
That's great.
What's that?
You.
Oh, me? I have a lot of things to say about the nothing I have to say about the one thing. I don't know. It was a lot, and I don't usually... Like, I always joke that I'm kind of cold and dead inside unless there's a musical on.
Ah.
And it's actually kind of true. And so to really connect with something like that is really, frightening almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this emotion?
I had my heart removed.
Right.
In 87.
So she's been in a lot of different... She's done different stand-up stuff?
I haven't looked her up.
Okay.
And it was really just because my friend was, building it up. He was like... Because we were just talking about stuff, and he's like, but I really want to watch this. And I was like, I guess we'll watch it then.
Sure.
You're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were an invalid at the moment. You didn't have a... Didn't have a,
but I have. Well, there you go. I have.
You're
all
a
the
captive
channels.
Audience,
right?
You are a captive audience at that point.
All right. I was going to show because last week I believe we showed the Randy Rainbow one about the one we talked to Omarosa. Well, because you were talking about so much about dumbass saying impeached over and over and over and over and over. This was the other one that he just came out with, and it's about being impeached. And I just wanted to share this other Randy Rainbow thing with us, so we'll...
I'm happy with sharing a Randy Rainbow.
We'll do that, and then that'll be about the end of this whole thing.
We are back, and I'm joined now by a very special guest, the President of the United States. Are we still going with that title? Yes? They're telling me yes? Okay, still good. Welcome, Mr. President. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you must be very busy cleaning out your desk. It has been quite a dramatic news week for you.
They make up lies. I've seen it many times. They make up things.
I mean, two former employees convicted, one implicating you as a co-conspirator in his crimes, a public feud with your attorney general, friends and allies, even doormen flipping on you left and right.
I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching Flippers.
Such a good show.
Look, I didn't know Manafort well. He wasn't with the campaign long.
Well, then why don't we start with your former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen?
I always found him to be a nice guy.
Were you aware of the hush money payments he is now saying were financed by the campaign per your instruction?
They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it. You know, I don't know if you know, but I tweeted about the payments. But they didn't come out of campaign.
Did they come out of the campaign?
They didn't come out of the campaign, and that's big.
Huge.
Because that could be...
Illegal?
A little dicey.
Or illegal.
But they weren't... It's not even a campaign... A violation. If you look at President Obama, he had a massive...
Pecker. David Pecker, your friend and CEO of the National Enquirer, has recently been granted immunity in the Cohen investigation and is said to have a lot of dirt on you.
I don't know. I've always had controversy in my life, and I've always succeeded. I've always won.
Well, some say you're about to win, most likely to get impeached.
I'll tell you what. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash.
If you ever got impeached?
I think everybody would be very poor.
Why? If you ever got impeached, you would...
You would probably start crying, then rehash all the lying and rhetoric you've preached. All the Dems would be smirking. Jim Acosta would start twerking if you ever got impeached.
If I ever got impeached.
You could just give in to Mueller, then go and get some color by lying on a beach. This is all natural, right? With the crimes you've been fixing, you could be another Nixon if you only got impeached.
I think the market would crash.
You'd be through and take with you our worries and our strife. You'd return to only burdening your wife, and we'd resume a normal life. Find a lawyer, cause you'll need one. Write a book, or learn to read one, or get your eyebrows bleached, cause... Just relax at the spa, go fuck yourself at Mar-a-Lago if you get impeached.
I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job.
You'd be more than implicated for laws you violated and protocols you breached.
because without this thinking,
we could finally all stop drinking if you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
We would dance and sing and revel. No one else has hit the level of infamy you've reached. Giuliani could retire, Pence could join a gay men's choir if you ever get impeached.
The president did nothing wrong.
When you flee, take Huckabee, and finally I'll be calm. I'd ask Michael Avenatti to the prom, and Kellyanne could move to Guam. More than half the country's waiting, so think about the ratings, 'cause when you gave your speech, we would all tune in to listen. You could finally go to prison.
I'm not involved. I wasn't charged with anything.
If you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Well done. Well, you're so smart.
Randy fucking Rainbow is a winner no matter what.
Funny.
Well, that's the wrong one. I didn't want that one. I didn't want that thing.
We already did that.
Yeah, we did that. We're going to do this one. How about this one? That's where you want to be.
There we go.
Oh.
Really?
Well, Nero, I don't know when you're going to meet this gal, but we are, fingers crossed.
Best of luck. I hope the dogs are nice.
I know. I hope that the dogs are good to you and the gal, too.
And if you don't like a dog.
Yeah, and if you don't.
Get out.
Yeah, because you're not going to be able to fake it.
Or maybe you
I mean, the dog part.
Okay, got it.
You know.
Anywho, well, thanks everybody in the chat room, as always, each and every week. It's Kat Carlson, Marnie Wire, that's Al Perkins, I'm Clayton McKee. It's a Tuesday night. Maybe you could find time to join us next week. But until then, we're going to wrap up tonight's show and leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
I gotta tell you, I'm a Yelper, and you're not gonna get a good review.